ladies and praise team. Double duty. We appreciate you and love you. Thank you, Mark. Well, let it never be brought into question whether we're Baptists. Let's do another check. How many of you like fried chicken? Okay, we're safe. We're safe. I'm going to take a swig of this water. Let's take our Bibles tonight and be finding Exodus 20. And as you're turning, I want to say a special welcome to the children and parents tonight. We have asked the children to stay in the service because of the message tonight, the nature of the message. And we feel that this is something all of our children can benefit from as we're talking about the Ten Commandments, and one in particular tonight that is of great interest and concern to our boys and girls and teenagers. So welcome. It's good to have you here. And we appreciate you. As you're finding Exodus 20, I want to say something else. We certainly have been burdened about the tragedies over the last 24 hours. And so we want to remember those folks. And something else kind of crossed my mind as we were thinking about them, as I was thinking about them. I will feel safe in saying that somewhere along the line in the next few days, maybe even tonight, they will be having what are commonly called candlelight vigils. And I have never been a part of one of those. They're commonly done when there's a tragedy. And I suppose there is a great need for that sort of thing, and a strength that comes just in numbers and having people around you. But this thought occurred to me, far better than a candlelight vigil would be for people to come together, wherever they may be, in time of tragedy, certainly, and open the Word of God together. Because the Bible says, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. So there is a value. I'm not going to say there's no value in a vigil of that sort. But how much better, I say, would it be for people anywhere, everywhere, there's need, certainly. And like tonight, we're opening God's Word, and His Word is the light that never fails to shed light on our path. Amen? So Exodus 20, I want us to begin reading at verse 1. We'll cover ground in the reading that we've already been over in messages, but it'll bring us up to where we are for the message tonight. Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now we come to the text for tonight, verse 12. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the fifth of the Ten Commandments. Let's bow together. Lord, we bow with thanksgiving for these commandments and all of your word. And as your word says, it does give light. Light in a world of darkness and light into our dark hearts. And Lord, we pray tonight you would shine the light of your word in a powerful way into our hearts. Help us to understand what it is you require. And Lord, we know already, even before we preach this message, that we do come up short when we think about our lives in the light of your commandments. We are all guilty of breaking your law. And so, Lord, again, we confess we are in need of your mercy. And we're so thankful that we don't receive your justice. We don't come under your condemnation in Christ. How we need salvation. How we love you and praise you for your saving grace in Christ. And the price he paid because we had broken your holy and sacred law. Father, tonight as we come to this fifth commandment, we pray for your blessing upon it as we preach it and as we apply it to our lives. We're so thankful to have our boys and girls and families together. We pray your blessing upon them as they're learning your ways. And may our church ever be faithful in teaching your commands and teaching your principles, teaching your word and all that you've laid out. Thank you for the privilege of training and teaching our boys and girls and teens. We look forward to a new year in Awana. And we thank you for our Sunday school and all that our church stands for in the way of training our boys and girls. And Lord, again, we lift up these many needy people that have been affected by these tragedies in our nation, there in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. Lord, we pray for the loss in so many families, the brokenness of homes and the brokenness of lives, of many wounded. And Lord, we know there's just heartache and hurt and pain that is so deep in our nation and in these communities. And we lift them up to you and pray that they'll see not only their physical need and emotional need, but even deeper, the spiritual needs that are present. We pray for those who will come around as counselors, those as preachers of your word, that they would be faithful to preach the word, preach the gospel to people in need. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. What a group of commandments, and what a privilege it is for us to look at these one by one. We're coming tonight to the one about our family. Honor thy father and thy mother. Not all of us have children, but all of us do have parents, either living or gone. But even after they're gone, we want to do, as Scripture says, honor them. And in all we do, that is possible, and God expects it. I want to say two things about this commandment at the outset that makes this commandment unique. First of all, this is the first commandment dealing with our relationship to other people. The first four commandments have to do with our relationship to God, our duty to God. And you remember those. The first thing is, there's only one God, so don't have any other. That's clear. Then the second one, don't make him out to be something he's not. Don't fashion him in some kind of image, either with your hands or with our minds, to think of him in an improper way. And then don't take his name in vain. Don't take it lightly or irreverently. But recognize his name stands for him. His name represents his character, who he is. So we must treat it sacredly in a holy manner. The same is true of his day. There is one day in seven. God said, I am separating that out. That is the Sabbath day. And we now, as Christians, worship on the first day instead of the seventh. But nonetheless, one in seven is to be set aside for his purpose and not ours. And now we come to the second table of the law, as it's sometimes called, the first table and the second table. And this has to do with our relationship to others. And where does it start? It starts with honoring father, and mother. So it's important that we understand that this is much like the first four commandments and the first of the first four. Those set the tone to recognize God as the supreme authority, those first four. And then when we come to the last table, or the last six of the Ten Commandments, the first of this last group sets the tone. And what is the tone of all the commandments? Is it not this? That God reigns supreme, and we look to Him and acknowledge His authority in every area, His authority over our life, and then His authority in every area of life as it pertains to life with others and our relationship. So everything has to do with authority. And where better to learn authority than in the home? This is the thing that's lacking. This is the thing that's missing. It's the missing ingredient in our world today. It has been missing for some time. And it's always important to establish authority in the home. Where else do we learn to respect God if not in the home? And one way we learn to respect God and learn to respect others is learning to respect our parents and honoring our parents. So it's important for that reason. Also important for another reason. Let me point out something unusual about this commandment. It's the first commandment with a promise attached. And the Bible in the New Testament bears that out. The first commandment with promise, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians. What is the promise? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That is, as we honor our father and mother, then God will bless with long life. Now, we know that there are always exceptions to that. That's not an ironclad thing. But generally speaking, that is true. And somebody has suggested, and it's probably a pretty good suggestion, when children get old enough to read in our homes, it might be a good idea to put a sign somewhere in the child's room, caution, dishonoring parents can be hazardous to your health. Well, that's what God is saying right here, right up front. Well, let's think about honor before we get to what this means. That word honor is something you don't hear too much about in the world today. What is that concept of honoring somebody? We say we honor them at maybe a special function like a graduation. Certainly that's a time to honor someone. We honor someone at a funeral. And other than that, you don't really think too much about honor, but the Bible has a lot to say about honor, honoring people, honoring certain things, certain people. And it all starts with honoring God. First and foremost, we are to honor God. The first table, as we mentioned, that's honoring God. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's where it all starts, is honoring God. And then to honor father and mother. The Bible also tells us we're to honor the elderly. We are to honor government officials and church leaders. And then we're to honor certain things that are ordained by God, such as the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, and marriage. It's honorable, and we're to honor it. And then the Bible describes certain actions and certain attitudes as either honorable or dishonorable. So this is a concept found throughout the Scripture in various places. And what I want us to do tonight, as we think about honoring our father and our mother, we're going to look at some supporting Scriptures and see what the Bible has to say along this line. It's kind of simple here, isn't it? Just honor your father and mother. But there are ways we can do that, and the Bible's clear on some of those ways. So let's begin. I've got several things I want to give you. Boys and girls, you with me? Boys and girls, can I hear an amen? Good. 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 You got those Bibles open? I hope so. We're not going to pick on you tonight, but we are talking to you. And as I say, we're talking to everybody because we don't all have children, but we all have parents. Right? And so we can honor them. We must honor them. And the first thing in honoring them is this word respect. We must respect our parents. What does the word honor mean? As it's found here, honor. The word honor is very close to the word glory or glorify. It's the same idea. It's the idea of weightiness, heaviness, to attach weight or significance to someone. And in this case, to attach significance or weight or honor to parents. It means to esteem someone highly because of who they are or what they have done. If someone is honored, the simple way to think of it is they are highly valued. We attach a high value to them. And so certainly, if this means anything, it means this, that when you think of your parents, you think highly of them. When you speak of your parents, you speak highly of them. When you speak to your parents, you speak to them in a respectful way. And when you talk about them, you talk about them respectfully. Now, a word to our youngsters. The real young ones probably wouldn't think of this, but maybe some teenagers here. So if the shoe fits, wear it. Don't ever talk about your parents like this and refer to them as the old man or the old lady. Don't do that. Amen? Because that is disrespectful. And one of the sure ways you can tell if a child respects or honors his parents is not only how they talk to their parents, but how they talk about their parents in the presence of their friends when their parents aren't around. I can guarantee you when I grew up, I knew those friends that I had respected their parents. And that's one reason I wanted to be around them. And furthermore, let me just throw this in for good measure. If you're hanging around somebody and you find out over time that they disrespect their parents, then just drop them as a friend. You don't want them as a friend. If they're not honoring their parents by the way they speak of them, the way they think of them, the way their attitude about them, you don't need friends like that, because here's what's going to happen. You hang around friends like that and you'll end up thinking like they think and talking like they talk. True? Yeah, it is true. So respect your parents. But there's more here. There's more we need to get to, and we've got several things to say. That's where it starts, respect. But then there is this matter of obedience, obeying parents. The Bible says we're to do that. I'll give you the verses here in a minute. What's the difference in obeying and respecting? Obeying has to do with action. Respect has to do with attitude. And so both of those tie together. There is the attitude and there is the action of obedience. There was a man from England. He was the Duke of Wellington. And when he paid a visit years ago, this was, to America, he sarcastically said at the end of his visit, he said this, and I quote, "The thing that impresses me most about your country is the way parents obey their children." Well, it's true, isn't it? We've got the shoe on the wrong foot. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It doesn't say they're always right, because they're not. Can we just get this straight in the message right here? It'd be a good time to say it. There's no perfect parents, but on the other hand, there's no perfect children. So we're not talking here about perfection. And the idea of obeying them because they're right or wrong, that has nothing to do with it. You obey them because of who they are. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's what the Bible says. And then Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this," that is obeying them, "this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." So it's not obeying them because what they say pleases you. It may or may not please you. It may well not please you, but it pleases the Lord. Now when it says obey your parents in the Lord, what does that mean? It means submit to their authority, because their authority, parents' authority, is an extension of God's authority. You obey them because of who they are, and God has set them in that role. The only exception to obeying parents is when they tell you to do something contrary to what the Bible plainly says to do. They tell you to do something that's not in line with the Word of God. That is, they forbid you to do what the Bible says you ought to do. Or they tell you to do something the Bible says don't do. It's kind of like with government. We're to obey government. We're to submit to government unless it violates what the Bible says. So, parents tell us what to do, and it's our part to do it. Just remember, children, those of you still are living at home, that God holds you responsible for obedience, and God holds your parents responsible for what they tell you to do and for their example. It's your responsibility, and it's my responsibility as a child to do what God tells me to do as a son, as a child. But it was my parents' responsibility to do what they should do as parents. So you do your part, and they do their part. Here's an interesting scripture, or a couple of scriptures. Just listen to this. We're talking about obedience to parents. The Bible says in the latter days, this is what's going to be like. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dangerous. And you look around, it's dangerous. It's dark and it's dangerous. And then it gives us some signs of the latter days. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. One of the marks of the dark and dangerous last days is that people, children especially, will be disobedient to parents. In Romans chapter 1, one of the darkest chapters in all the Bible, and it lays out some of the awful things of the unbelieving Gentile heathen world. For example, it mentions things like backbiters, haters of God, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. But right in the middle of that list is this description, disobedient to parents. And then it goes on to say this. The Bible says that those who do those things, including disobeying parents, are worthy of death. In the Old Testament, we find that there was the death penalty for children who would not be corrected, who persisted in disobedience. There was provision for the death penalty. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's for us today. We understand that was for Israel in that day. Somebody asked a young boy, said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And his answer was, I just want to be alive. I think he'd been on the receiving end of some of that child discipline, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. And when there's not obedience, then sometimes we have to apply that, as has been said, the board of education to the seat of knowledge is what we sometimes need to do. And boy, I'll just say as a grandparent, I'm glad my spanking days are over. Spoiling days are here, spanking days are over. That was no fun. And you parents, you understand that. That's no fun at all. But we do it because we need to do it. The third thing is to be helpful. Help your parents. Here's a verse we shared in Sunday school this morning in our class about being a wise son. It says, he that gathereth... I think actually we shared it in the morning message, now that I think about it. That's correct. We did. About sleeping. Here it is. Proverbs 10, verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Remember that? There's times when we sleep that are shameful. And so a wise son is one that helps in the field, gathers in the summer. And so we may or not have a farm or a garden, but there's ways that children can help, and they should help. Mom and dad around the house. Don't you agree? This is a way of honoring our parents, and there's always work to be done. A able-bodied young man that won't help dad or mom, it could be mom that does the yard work with the yard work, or a girl that doesn't help with the housework is shameful, and it does not honor the Lord, and it does not honor them. There was a young man in a family. He was looking at one of the pictures on display there in the home. He was just getting old enough to look at things like that. And it was a picture of mom and dad back when they were younger. And he looked at the picture and he said to his dad, he said, "Dad, is that a picture of you and mom when mom came to work for us?" Oh my goodness. I think he had the wrong idea. A teenage girl wanted to go to the movies. So she asked, here's how she put it, "Mom, can I have some money to hit the flick?" And her mom said, "Yes. But first you can stash the trash and spread the bed and swish the dish and flop the mop." Pretty good answer. Help your parents. There's a fourth thing. Thank your parents. Thank your parents. Scripture says, and we just read that, one of the signs of the last days is that people will be unthankful. Gratitude should begin at home. And it's so easy to take things for granted. Just take things for granted. Children should be grateful while they're at home and then after we leave the home. So some questions. Do we thank our parents for our home, for our food, for our clothes, for our bed to sleep in? When was the last time we thanked parents for paying the bills? You say, well, that's their responsibility, and it is their responsibility to do all of those things, but they still enjoy and deserve a word of appreciation. Gratitude comes from the heart. And we should be thankful for a number of reasons. I'll mention four before we move on. First of all, because God used them to bring you into the world. That's a good reason to be grateful. They're the source of your physical life under God, of course. They provide for you. They mold and shape your life, and they teach you God's ways. That's what they do, and they should be thanked. Here's something else, a fifth thing. To honor our father and mother is to pray for our parents. Pray for our parents. You need to pray that God will bless them and help them. If I knew then, when I was at home, what I know now as a parent, I would have prayed for my parents more. Because as a parent, you learn what it's all about. You don't fully appreciate that when you are a child under your parents. And as I've said, none of us can expect perfect parents. We're not perfect children, and nobody has perfect parents. Something else that maybe we don't think about, but it's true. Do you realize there's no such thing as professional parents? We're all amateurs. And it's on-the-job training. And there's nothing more humbling than being a parent. I can guarantee you. Amen, parents? There is nothing more humbling, and it will drive us to our knees more. It's on-the-job training constantly. And so we should pray for our parents, especially if we're at home. And then, of course, as we grow older and we're out from the home, then, of course, we pray for their needs, whatever they may be. But I'm talking about while we're under their direction, because one reason we need to pray is not only to honor them, but everything they do will affect us. What our parents do affects us directly. So we want them to do the right thing. We want them to be led by God so they'll lead our home the right way. Here's something else. Be a blessing to your parents. It ought to be our aim to be a blessing. The Proverbs have much to say along this line. I love the Proverbs. You know I do. I read one a day, and I've encouraged you to do that. And I've gotten some good feedback. Some of you are now doing that. And I just love to hear that because I know what they've meant to me. And I know what they will mean to anybody that will read a chapter a day. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father. Notice that. A wise son maketh a glad father. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 23:15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. And then one more, Proverbs 23:24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Being a parent, listen, being a parent can either be a great blessing because of your children, or it can be a great burden. Oh, the heartbreak that I've seen. Thankfully, I haven't lived it, because I've been blessed with obedient children. Not perfect children, but obedient children, respectful children. I'm so grateful for that. But I've seen the heartache in homes where children have not turned out as parents had desired, and it is a heaviness. It is a burden. And so we don't want to be that way. We want to be a blessing and not a burden. Are our parents rejoicing because of the way we're acting at home, or the way that we're living as adults? It's a good question to ask. Do they rejoice as they think of our lives and what we are developing, or what we have developed into? We should want to please them. Please God first, but in pleasing them, we please God. So be a blessing. Then enjoy your parents. That's a way of honoring our father and mother. You won't be living at home with your parents all your life. There'll come a time that you'll leave. But while you're with them, enjoy them. And then once you're away from home, you'll be glad that you did enjoy them. And once they're gone on to into eternity, then you'll be glad you have the memories. Don't live with regrets and say, I wish I had done this. Enjoy them. I look back. I don't have my dad anymore. You know, he passed away in 96. But I draw upon those memories. I enjoyed him. And I'm thankful I did. And now I can enjoy those memories, and I can go back to spot. I can go back to conversations. And that's the way we should. And I'm not saying I've done everything perfect, by no means. I say there's no perfect children, and you're looking at one that's far from what I should have been. But I enjoyed him, and I'm so grateful that I did. I encourage you to enjoy them while you have them. And while you're living there, enjoy it. Make the most of it. And then here's another thing to honor father and mother. Forgive your parents. All parents make mistakes. They have, they will. I had to ask my children for forgiveness. Yes, I did. For things I said, sometimes the tone that I said things. Don't hold grudges toward your parents. Remember, only perfect children can expect to have perfect parents. When I talk to couples about getting married, I know that we're not talking about marriage tonight, but it applies in parents and children the same as it does in husbands and wives. I tell them that living as families, there's friction, there's disagreements, there's hurt feelings, all that kind of thing comes into home life. Can I hear an amen? That's just part of living as a family. And so one way to think of home life is that we need to cultivate a spirit of forgiveness between husbands and wives, and between children and parents and children, so that when we mess up, and we do, it's just like oil in your car. There is heat, there is friction in that engine, but that oil, that keeps it running smooth. You got to have that lubrication. And forgiveness is in a home what oil is in a car. Here's some good verses to remember. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things have fervent charity, where charity means love, boys and girls. Have fervent love. That is a lot of it. Not just a little dab. Have a lot of love. Have a fullness of love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. And then in Proverbs again, chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. And there's a beautiful illustration of that in family life. Way back over with Noah. Remember Noah, boys and girls? The ark builder? Well, something you may not know about Noah, and I'm not trying to run him down, I'm just reminding you what the Bible says. Do you know what happened to Noah after he got off the ark? There was only 8 of them that survived in the great flood. And Noah and his wife and his 3 sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, they were on the ark with their wives. So it's 3 boys and the wives, that's 6, and Noah and his wife, they got off the ark. And not long after they got off the ark, the Bible tells us this. And we could turn to it and read it. I'm going to summarize it. It says that Noah planted a vineyard. A vineyard is where you grow grapes. And then from that vineyard, there was some wine. And we're not told if it was intentional or not. But the fact of the matter is, Noah got drunk. True, parents? You've read that. True, adults? Noah got drunk. That's not the end of the story. Noah got drunk, and the Bible says that he was in his tent, uncovered. Because, let me just say this while I have a chance. When you get drunk, anything's possible. Don't drink. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. So, Noah got drunk. He's laying inside his tent, uncovered. The Bible says one of his boys named Ham went and saw him, and he went and told his brothers. Ham saw his dad laying in a drunken stupor without proper clothing and went and told his brothers. You know what the brothers did? It's a beautiful thing. The Bible tells us what they did. They took a covering and they went into the tent backward, holding the covering, the 2 of them. And they knew about where their dad was. And instead of looking upon him in his shame and his drunkenness, they covered him. That's what love does. It covers sins. They honored their dad. Ham did not. And that's what we want to do. When our parents mess up, cover it with love. Cover it with forgiveness. So important we forgive one another. Parents need forgiveness. Children need forgiveness. It works both ways. There's a couple more, and I'll be quick. Listen to your parents. That's a way to honor them. The Bible tells us that parents are to instruct us and train us in the ways of the Lord. And so we need to listen to their advice and learn all that we can from them. And we never stop learning. That's one thing I miss is conversations like I used to have with Dad. And here I am in my 60s, and I still wish I could talk to him and glean, you know, Dad, what do you think about this? What's your opinion? And get his counsel. That is so valuable. Somebody has figured out that the peak years of mental ability must be between the age of 4 and 20. You want to know why? Because at 4, we have all the questions, and at 20, we know all the answers. But we don't know all the answers. No, of course not. We're ever learning. And one of the great sources of wisdom is at home with our parents. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And if we could just understand while we're home that nobody cares for us like our parents. Nobody loves you like your parents do. Nobody has your best interest at heart more than your mom and your dad. Believe that. Accept that. Trust that. And when they tell you, they're telling you for your good. They're doing it under God and they're doing it for your good. Think of it like this. If you're going to go on a trip you've never been on before, let's say you're going to go out west somewhere, far west, past Memphis, way out to Arizona or somewhere. You've never been out there. But somebody else had been out there, and they were able to tell you, you want to eat at this restaurant, you want to avoid that one. You better watch that road, that's dangerous. You better watch that intersection. And they would tell you about the roads. They tell you about the dangers. They tell you about the good things. They tell you about the things you want to, the scenery and so forth. Don't miss that. They tell you those things. That's a lot of the way it is with parents. They've just been down the road longer than you and ahead of you. And they're telling you what's good and what's bad. Right, parents? And it's for your good. It's for your good. And how we appreciate that. So learn from your parents. And then the last thing, and it's a good place to end. There's probably more we could say, but we've covered some areas, some needful areas, I trust. And that is to care for your parents. Our parents care for us when we're young. And then it's our privilege and our responsibility to care for them when they're old. And the Bible says if we don't do that, then we're worse than an infidel. Here's what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And if you look at 1 Timothy 5, the context of that is all about widows. It says that the church should take care of widows, but first let the family take care of their widow woman. And if we don't, we're worse than an unbeliever. Who set the example along this line? It was Jesus. One of the things he did in his dying hours, dying moments on the cross, he was concerned about his dear mother, Mary, and committed Mary into the care of his beloved disciple, John. You remember that in the Bible? Remember reading that? He looked at Mary and said, Mary, behold thy son. That is, from now on, he'll be like a son to you. And he said to John, son, remember, behold your mother. So he was making the handoff, concerned about his dear mama near the end of his life. What the Bible teaches in so many words is this. If our Christian faith doesn't work at home, it doesn't work at all. That's the true test of who we are under God. That's why this commandment is the start of the second tablet. We have the tablet dealing with duties, relationship to God. And then the very first thing of God's commandments toward other people is this one. Honor your father and your mother. I think that says a lot. It does say a lot. But as we've said about the Ten Commandments, I know as I've thought about this one, I've realized again, there were a lot of ways that I failed my mom and dad growing up. Wish I could roll back the clock, roll back the time, do some things different. For the most part, I did show them respect and honor. I'm not going to say I didn't back talk. And it's not, this message is not about me, but I'm simply saying this hits me between the eyes. And let's be honest, it hits us all between the eyes. And the Bible says the law here, all of these commandments, is to do just that. It is a mirror to show us where we come short. You could say that these Ten Commandments are like big cannons. And you know what they do? If we let them, if we take them to heart and we let them speak to our heart, they shatter us. They destroy us because we look and say, I've not always honored my father and I've not always honored my mother. And that makes me guilty before God. What am I to do? Here's the thing to do. We trust the Savior. We trust Jesus. The Ten Commandments, boys and girls, show us that we have come short before God. We have sinned against God and we need His forgiveness. But God gives us good news. You know the good news. Jesus came to die for our sins and He paid the price, paid the penalty where we had broken God's law. Isn't that wonderful? So it's our privilege and our responsibility to trust Him, to turn from our sin and agree with God and say, God, I've not always honored my dad, my mom. I've said things, I've thought things. My attitude's not been right, but I ask for forgiveness. Please forgive me. And once we're saved, we have that forgiveness, but we need to keep on asking for forgiveness, right? It's an ongoing thing. One last thought, and then we're going to pray. We had no choice about the family that we were born into. And I've said this before, I'm so grateful that I was born into the Anderson family. I had a wonderful dad, and I have a wonderful mom in failing health, and we're trying to take care of her, and you know, so many of you know what that's like. We have no choice about that, the family we're born into on this earth. But we do have a choice about being a part of God's family. True? To think that God gives us the privilege of saying from our heart, I want to be a part of your heavenly family and have you as my Father and Christ as our Savior, as my Savior. Here's what we have. This is our promise. Let me read it from John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, the Him there is Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. God says, if you believe on my Son, you trust in Him, then I will receive you and you'll be my child. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can know you as our Father by trusting Jesus as our Savior, repenting of our sin. We're thankful, Lord, for this command. We don't have to wonder what you expect and what you deserve. You want us to honor our parents. And we pray that we will do that and seek with all of our heart to do that. But how wonderful it is to know that where we fall short and where we break this command, there is forgiveness to be received and salvation of our soul as a guilty lawbreaker. Thank you for our salvation and thank you for the guidance and the grace to be that son, to be that daughter that we need to be. As saved people, help us to honor mom and honor dad, to honor their memory once they're gone, to live in such a way that we'll follow the things they taught us and how they brought us up in church, to know you and to love you. Help us to honor them in that way. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And if you have a